B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in the bag at your estate, Home Depot, and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. You know, I was talking about the mood I was in throughout the weekend. Well, Saturday afternoon, Jamie, as I told you at the break, I was down the shore with friends of the family, right? And I just made for dinner for all lobster pizza.
Ooh.
Homemade lobster pizza is so good.
Obviously cheese, olive oil, garlic, and lobster?
It was a little more than that.
Oh, yeah?
A little more than that. A little heavy cream. In a frying pan, sauteed garlic. The whole thing. You know, I won't give away the secrets.
Right.
But nonetheless, we did that. It was nice. And I'm in a great mood. Made some cappuccinos for people, right? Sat down on the sofa, put on Sixers. Hated my life.
We're back, baby! The Sixers are back!
I was just like, hey, wow, how the turntables. All right.
Yeah.
From The Athletic, joining us right now, our good friend Rich Hoffman joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Rich Hoffman, how are you, buddy?
I'm okay, guys.
Are you trying to talk us down already?
It's okay. We can't see you, but blink if you're having issues. No. All right. How you doing there, Rich?
I'm all right. It was a tough watch the other night.
Here's the thing that jumped out of my mind. What the hell, man? It was really bad. Like, it started out actually good. The play that I've referenced a couple of times this morning was the first play of the game. Shake Milton brings the ball up, passes to Ben at the elbow. He does a little, like, behind-the-back bounce pass to Joel Embiid, and I was like, oh, my God, did they run a play? Oh, my, this is amazing. And then defense completely broke down. Shake Milton looked terrible, and Joel Embiid, allegedly by Jamie Standards, threw a ball at Shake Milton's head. What did you see as the wheels were falling off the Sixers?
Yeah, just a really bad, kind of embarrassing performance altogether. I mean, the real reason they were in the game was because Indiana was so unbelievably small, and Embiid and Simmons in particular just killed them on the boards. They almost rebounded like 50% of their misses, but yeah, it was like you said, the defense was awful, and you know, this team, there's been a lot of high scores in the bubble in the Orlando, these seeding games so far. I have, like, news for this team. If they think they're going to win games in the 120s, like, they're just not good enough offensively for that to happen. They need to, like, come into the game with a more focused defensive effort. It was, I mean, really strange performance from Ben Simmons, who's been really good defensively this year. He just got lit up by T.J. Warren. It wasn't just him, but it was a lot of people. And then, you know, their offense, again, they were pretty good because they were just so much bigger than Indiana, but they had 21 turnovers. I thought their guards, just in terms of, like, doing point guard things, dribbling the ball, getting them into their offense, they were about as bad as you can get in the NBA. So, I really, honestly, not a lot of positives outside of Joel Embiid from that game.
Yeah, you had the numbers on T.J. Warren and Ben Simmons as his defender last night, and I saw these per NBA.com, and then you put this out on your social media, on your Twitter, Rich_Hoffman, two ends. Per NBA.com, the matchup, TJ Warren was 9 for 10 from the field, 5 for 5 from 3 on Ben Simmons. That's not the defensive stalwart that we were all looking forward to seeing upon the return.
No, and it's funny. If you look at the matchup stats, and I'm happy they still have them in Orlando. I guess that's the wonder of technology. But it's like throughout the season, I've seen a few times where it's like Pascal Siakam gives the Sixers 28 points. But if you look at what he had done against Ben Simmons, he was really inefficient. He really had to find other players to attack. So this was, I mean, this was like the bizarro world. I mean, it was insane. And you know, TJ Warren, pretty good player, has hurt the Sixers this season. Nice score, smooth, like, bucket getter. If he is the other team's best option, you should not be getting lit up. And I just thought Simmons was, it was really weird. I mean, he just did a terrible job, for the most part, chasing him around screen, something he's usually pretty good at. But, you know, you saw it in the first quarter. It was like the second play of the game. They ran a pin-down screen for T.J. Warren, and they didn't even get a bucket on this. But I was just rewatching the game. He left Ben Simmons in the dust, and I was thinking, like, that's weird. And then you just watch the game over and over again, and it just continued to happen. Just poor off-ball instincts from Simmons, and it was a Yeah, it was a weird one. I will say, like, as far as all of the concerns that I laid out in that first answer, moving forward, I'm still the least worried about Ben Simmons' defense. After everything we saw this season, I refuse to believe something like that will happen again. That does not make it any less frustrating for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, I'm with you. I read your piece last night on The Athletic, and I felt like I wrote it because it was exactly how I felt. I don't even care. Look, the Ben Simmons' poor defensive performance is more an anomaly to me. I can look past that. But what I can't look past is TJ Warren having 29 points at halftime, and there appeared to be no real defensive team adjustment to him. Like, they continued to give him space. They continued to not fight over top of screens. They just continued to let him have his shots. Where was Matisse Thybulle in kind of that role? Because you would think he was molded to be that guy to come out there to bring some energy, to fight through screens, and to lock somebody up. Where was the adjustments from Brett Brown?
Yeah, you know, I think you could argue that Matisse should have played more. I think Korkmaz got the first crack at the wing minutes, and he was, I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff about the game. He looked completely unplayable. He got attacked defensively, bricking open threes, and that's kind of the story with him. I'm sure he'll have a game where he lights it up in a few games, but, you know, the consistency is just not there. I did wonder in, like, rewatching the game if they maybe could have doubled off Warren more. I will say, like, that is a little bit of an act of desperation. Unless T.J. McConnell was playing, Indiana had a lot of really good shooters out there, so I'm not sure if doubling would have worked. And honestly, the point is, if you have Ben Simmons, you should not have to double. It's tough. I think in general, though, Jamie, like, they should have done something. Like, and if that's just having Ben Simmons play up on T.J. Warren to make him put the ball in the floor and, you know, take your chances with him driving into Joel Embiid. And you really didn't see those adjustments. And it was discouraging. And, like, again, it's like I was saying earlier, if these guys think that they're going to play, like, pretty basketball games and, you know, in the 120s and 115s, they have no shot. They will be gone after the first round. They need to be an elite defense. And just like we've seen throughout the season, you know, the one that was put on hiatus 4 months ago, there's way too many times where they're just not following the scouting report or playing with the grit and toughness that you need on the defensive end and that they have the ability to, and it's frustrating.
At what point does Brett make another adjustment? Look, it's one game in, but this is such a rare case where you had, like you just mentioned, you referenced the 4 months, to break down and say, you know what? I know what this team needs. I need to move my all-star point guard to the power forward position and have Shake Milton run my offense for as much as he's going to run as a point guard. For that to fail, it could not have gone worse for Brett to make this decision to entrust Shake Milton to not only move your point guard, but also piss off your best player, your MVP candidate in Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I think the way you put it, Mark, it could not have gone any worse in that first game. And I think, to be fair to Milton, I would hope the moment didn't get too big for him because it's just a seeding game in the NBA. Like, he played on national TV against the Clippers and the Lakers and was awesome. Like, I feel like that's a bigger game than what we saw the other night, even though it was the first game back. But what discouraged me the most about his performance, and there was a lot, the simple act of him bringing up the ball is tough. Like, he's somebody who other teams will try to harass, and you saw T.J. McConnell do that successfully. But what really bothered me from that game and just felt like a completely different person than I've been watching for the last, well, I guess, you know, whenever he started to get into the rotation, is that he completely got rattled. It was, you know, he's this stoic figure who's never gets too high, never gets too low. The moment never gets too big for him. He was shook, and you could see it in his face. I mean, he's arguing with Embiid about pick and roll defense while T.J. McConnell is 1 foot in front of him, and he takes the ball from him. And that is, like, that's embarrassing. That's really bad. And then, you know, he's out of control on the next possession. He had a sequence where he lets Jakar Sampson score and T.J. McConnell get in the lane. He gives up the ball to T.J. McConnell because he's arguing with Embiid, and T.J. Warren hits a three. That one was not on Simmons, for sure. And then he charges into Warren on the other end because McConnell speeds him up. that's about as rough of a sequence as you'll see. I am very interested to see how they respond tonight. Like, I think as bad as that game was, I thought some of the stuff with Simmons at the elbow, kind of that first play you referenced, Mark, and getting Embiid involved, it looked good when they got the ball there. But because Milton and Richardson and, I mean, those are the main two guys that I'm thinking of, just were so poor in getting them into their offense, I think you have to wonder if they're going to have to change it at some point. But no, I don't think they're going to change it just yet. I think you do need to stick with it for a little bit.
I don't think so either, because if you're Brett, then that's a huge admission that you just spend that amount of time saying, oh, you know what, we need Shake Milton. There we go. That's the ticket. But the other thing that I think they need to do is, if this does continue to fail, if this one game is actually the hint at the trend and not just an anomaly, what is the backup plan? I mean, other than the obvious, I think, is Ben goes back to one, but then it's, do you have Matisse Thybulle in the starting five? Because we know the Al Horford experiment didn't work. So what is the, in case of emergency, break glass move?
I would think it's that. I would say it's probably put Ben as the point guard and put a 3-and-D type, and I would think Matisse, Korkmaz, I know that's not really the D part of the equation on that, but, or maybe even Glenn Robinson III when he's healthy. And it's, you know, in classic Sixers fashion, the guy who doesn't play helps himself. But nice. It's like, yeah, so I think that would be the backup plan. But I wasn't too discouraged by the idea of Ben at the elbow. I thought, honestly, late in the game, he was catching and attacking, and it was exciting. Now, obviously, he was way bigger than the Pacers, but I would hope that they have the fortitude to stick this out a little bit and just hope that they get better play from pretty much every guard they had, because that was, you know, I guess the one positive is that they lost by 6 points, and I mean, I thought every guard that played was like a D-minus or an F.
Yeah, so that brings me to my next question, Rich. Watching this team right now, Josh Richardson, he has my brain in a pretzel. Because when he went out earlier in the year, the team noticeably struggled without him. And I was going, all right, maybe he's one of these below-the-radar, like, glue guys that kind of holds everything together. Now when I watch him offensively, like, defense, he gives you decent effort. I don't think he's a great defender, per se. Offensively, he looks lost to me. They had, you know, I believe 2 3-point attempts from their backcourt all night on Saturday. Yeah. Is Josh Richardson best suited for the starting five right now? Is he lost? Can they salvage this? Like, what are you seeing from Josh Richardson in this offense?
He's a tricky one because, you know, he did put up like 16 points a game in Miami last season. Uh-huh. But if you looked at the Miami offense, it wasn't very good. And he had a ton of consistent responsibility. And that's not something that he has here. It's been a weird, I think he's struggled to find consistency. Like, he's had some really standout performances where, I'm thinking back to the Clippers home game, I think he scored 17 points in the fourth quarter of that game, like a really competitive, good game. He's awesome down the stretch. Had a huge game against Miami earlier this year. But yeah, to find the consistency is hard, and I agree with you. Like, he was completely lost. I just thought his decision making is bad. The one thing I will say that I think they need to not do is that he is not a point guard. Like, he just does not have those instincts to get everybody involved and be just kind of efficient with the basketball. But it's tough for him because they don't run any plays for him. They run plays for Embiid. They run plays for Simmons. They run plays for Tobias Harris. He's involved in a lot of them, but he's, like, getting them the ball. And I think Brett said it yesterday, like, maybe I do need to call a few more plays for him. But, yeah, for him to score, what, 4 points the other night and just look completely lost, that is something that I am kind of secretly worried about, too. He needs to be more aggressive shooting threes. You're going to need to see better from him. And hopefully that was a little bit of an aberration, but he's somebody who's had a little bit of a tough year with that and the injuries.
Rich, we really appreciate you coming on, man. So you think same starting five tonight? Do you think they get a win tonight against the Spurs?
I don't know, Mark.
I was just hoping for some semblance of optimism. No, Rich, good talking to you as always, man. Check his stuff out on theathletic.com. Great talking to you, bud.
Yes.
All right, see you, Rich Alvin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.